Well, it's week four of Beachbody. All month long, we've been talking about getting coastline ripped, getting it fit. How many know every summer you go to the magazine line in grocery stores and it's all about six-pack abs and how to get the best beach body and how to look good for the summer? And as I began to think about how the church is the body of Christ, I thought, how can we get coastline looking good for the summer? How can coastline get six-pack abs and be healthy and be fit and be looking good? And so all month long, we've been talking about what it takes to build a healthy body of Christ, what it is about health that makes something happen. The owner of Chick-fil-A made a great statement. He said, if we will get better, our customers will demand we get bigger. See, our goal at Coastline is to be healthy because healthy things grow. It's not about, you know, doing this. It's about if we can just become healthy as a church, then healthy things grow. Tom, I think I may be a little loud today. I can't tell. It sounds really loud up here. I don't want to blast people out because I got a really loud, obnoxious voice. I know some of you will appreciate that. One of my life verses is Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. If you have your sermon notes, you can follow along with me. One of my life verses, Daniel 6, verse 3, it says this. Daniel soon proved himself more capable. Other translations say Daniel distinguished himself. He set himself apart. He proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, his exceptional qualities, his excellent spirit, one translation says, Daniel proved himself more capable. He had excellent qualities. There was something about Daniel that was different than him and everyone else. He was a different type of employee. He wasn't an employee like everyone else. He didn't do the bare minimums. He did things that set himself apart. His capabilities, his qualities, his spirit was different, and this was the result. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Because Daniel was distinguished himself, because he was different, because he had a different spirit, he had different qualities, there was something different about Daniel than everyone else. The king made a plan to set him over the entire empire. For those of you who are business people or career people, Daniel is one of the greatest books you will ever read on how to advance in your career. How to advance in your business. There are truths in Daniel that if you apply them to business will absolutely radically change your career and your business. Daniel was different, and because of it, the king had a plan to set him over the entire empire. How many know that is the goal in life? To get ahead. That's what we learn in America. Your goal is to get ahead. Well, you can do it the world's way or you can do it God's way. There was something different about Daniel, and it was so different that it set him apart. He was exceptional. So as I began to think about that in regards to our church, to here at Coastline, what exceptional abilities does Coastline have? What makes Coastline different? What distinguishes us as a church? What are our values that sets us apart? Because there's got to be something that distinguishes us, that makes us unique. And as I really began to pray about it, one of the greatest values we are trying to build to have a healthy beach body, to be a healthy local church, is we at Coastline believe church should be fun. And that was heresy where I grew up. I mean, it was heresy growing up to even believe church could be fun. Remember the verse I talked about a couple weeks ago, Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord. That was not my verse growing up. I was mad to go to the house. So I was sad when I had to go. I was glad to go to the beach. I was glad to go anywhere else but church. But church was miserable growing up. I mean, it was like when the church I grew up in the South, the more painful it was like you got greater holy points the more painful it was. I mean, they would put you on those wooden pews that were just unbearable. They would kill your back. You had to wear church shoes. Remember church shoes? Those hard, black, pointy shoes with tight black socks and a necktie. It was painful to go to church. I mean, it was anything but I was glad to go to the house. It was painful. I did not like it. Anyway, the more painful it was, the more holy they considered it. See, one of our philosophies at Coastline is church should be enjoyed, not endured. You shouldn't have to endure coming to church. You should be able to say, like the psalmist said in 122, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord because it was exciting. It was full of life. It was fun. There was an atmosphere. That has to be one of the exceptional distinguishing qualities about our church. See, I used to think because of the way church was growing up, I thought it was punishment serving God. I mean, you remember the old testimonies you would hear before I got saved. I was a biker and I was this and I was that. But 18 years ago, I surrendered to the Lord. I mean, I thought it was punishment serving God. See, I didn't surrender to the Lord. I signed up for the greatest adventure of my life. It is exciting serving God. It is full of life and full of joy. But everything I saw around me, people in the church were miserable. People that served God were miserable. The church was miserable. It was painful. And see, when I really began to look at that, that philosophy of painful church, that philosophy of a church that you had to endure, just was not consistent with what the Bible taught. It wasn't consistent with what the Bible says about who Jesus is. John chapter 10 and verse 10, I love this. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, God's purpose for you is to give you a rich and a satisfying. How many want a rich and satisfying life? How many know a rich and satisfying life is a lot better than the alternative? You have to understand, if you come to this church, that is God's will for your life, and you're not going to stop hearing that. I'll say it every single week. God wants you to have a rich and a satisfying life. That is His will for you. That is His purpose for you. That is God's plan for you. And as a church, our goal is to help you get there. Our goal is to teach you how to get there, what you need to do to get to that point. Now, when you look at that word, it's powerful, the rich, satisfying life. When you break that down in the Greek, it's the word zoe, which means life, and the word parousios, which adds on to the life. Let me give you the Greek definition of this rich, satisfying life. Life, the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. How many know we want a life full of vitality? We want a life that is animate, that is alive. Now listen to this. When you combine zoe with parousios, this is what it means when you combine it. Over and above, more than is necessary, super added, superior, extraordinary, surpassing, and uncommon. How many of you want a more than is necessary vitality? A super added life, a superior, extraordinary, vitality, animate life about the way you live. I mean, that was not what I saw in the church growing up. That was not the type of Christianity that I saw communicated to me. And when I became the pastor, I said, you know what? We need to build the type of Christianity that Jesus modeled in the Bible. We need to be the type of Christians that have a rich and satisfying life where people look into the church and they say, I want to be like that. They have life. There is something about them that sets them apart, that distinguishes them. They are different. It's like, you remember the old commercial when the guy goes to work and he goes, Bob, there's something different about you today. Is it your hair? I'm not going to tell you the name of the commercial. You know what it is. He said, no, I've been to church. See, when you experience God, there should be something different about you when you go to work. People should notice something completely different about you because you're distinguished. You have capabilities, and there's something different about you that everyone around you doesn't have. See, when you study the Bible, Jesus was a kids' magnet. I mean, Jesus attracted children. Hollywood today portrays him anything but. I mean, you see Jesus today in movies and Jesus and all these different things. He was always mad. He was always angry. He was malnourished. You got the metrosexual Jesus carrying around sheep. I mean, it was anything but the Jesus described in the Bible. I mean, Jesus was a kids magnet. I mean, you want to find out whether somebody is really Christ-like? See how children respond to him. Children are one of the greatest judges on whether somebody has Christ living in their life. Do children run to them or run from them? See, there's a joy in people that children sense and children see. That attract kids love to be around Jesus because he was fun, he was alive, he's full of joy and full of life. There's a joy about him that you simply don't see in the church today. And you know what's really upsetting about that? Is you'll see guys go to a football game 4 hours early. They will experience every emotion right out of the book of Psalms. Everything you see in the book of Psalms, from singing, screaming, dancing, yelling, you'll see it all. And then yet come to church and you'll see anything but the book of Psalms. You don't see any life, you don't see any celebration, you don't see any party, you don't see any excitement. You see dead, boring, and lifeless. And I truly believe one of the greatest sins of the church today is we're boring. I believe we've literally bored an entire generation out of church and into sin. Because our churches are dead, they're lifeless, they're not exciting, they're not full of vitality, they're not rich, satisfying life. And for us, we want to build a rich, satisfying life here. We want to help the people who call Coastline home discover a rich, satisfying life. So if you've never been to our church and you never plan on coming back, this message still applies to you. It's not just for our church. I tell you, if you'll apply this message, you'll get ahead at work. You'll have more influence in your family. You'll have a greater impact in your community because there's just something about people who learn how to enjoy life that distinguishes them, that sets them apart, that proves them more capable than others. So let's learn how to enjoy life together. Number one, if you're following in your notes, love life. Love life, plain and simple. I know this is simple. This is not going to be the deepest message you've ever heard, but sometimes the simplest message are the most important in the Christian walk. You know, I've always been told when somebody's drowning, they don't need to know the Greek word of life raft. They just need you to throw them a life raft. So this is a very simple message today, but a message that so many of us desperately need in our life because it's the foundation of the Christian walk. Love life. Develop a high appreciation of life. Learn how to enjoy life. See, if you really had joy inside of you, it would not matter what challenge, what trial, what giant you're facing, you could handle it head on if you had joy. I'm not talking about the emotion of happiness, because how many of you realize the emotion of happiness will come and go? I'm talking about joy on the inside. Happiness is something on the outside. Joy is something on the inside. Joy you can't get without God. See, the Bible says joy is the fruit of the Spirit, so you can't have joy without the Holy Spirit in your life because it's not something you can do on your own. You can make yourself feel happy with a lot of things, but how many know as quick as happiness comes, happiness goes. Joy is something that stays with you when you have the Holy Spirit. Joy is something that grows from within and it keeps you settled. It keeps this life and vitality about who you are. Because growing up, you know, what I saw, you know, how many of you have ever seen those Christians that look like they were baptized in vinegar? I mean, they never smile. They're, you know, they tell you things like this. Well, brother, I've just walked with the Lord for a long time. And when you walk with God, as long as I've walked, you just mature in your faith. I said, no, you've lost God is what you've done. The longer you walk with God, the more you get to know God, the more you get into God's word, the more you find out who God is, the happier you become. You should be the happiest at the end of your life than any other point in your life because the more you discover about God, the more you get to know God, the more you get into his word and you allow his life to get into you, the happier and joyful and free you become. And it doesn't matter what you're facing in life. That's the truth. This is what the Bible says in John 15:11. It says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that your joy will overflow. You will be filled with my joy. Now, how does it happen after you've heard from God for 20 years, you get the exact opposite results? I just don't believe that's true. I don't believe these Christians who walk around with frowns on their face and saying, well, I'm just more mature in my faith. No, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you will have a joy and not just be filled with joy, but your joy will overflow. If you can't smile, get right with God. I said it, get right with God if you can't smile. Because your smile is one of the greatest qualities and characteristics of somebody that has joy inside of them. Somebody that knows how to laugh, that knows how to enjoy life, that knows how to have fun. Thessalonians said, God has given you everything for your enjoyment. That means spending a day with your children can actually enhance your relationship with God. Going out on a date with your wife can actually enhance your relationship with God. And for those of you that love golf and our great golf series starting next month, we told you if you come to Coastline in August, we will lower your golf score. We have Kip, one of the greatest golf coaches in North County, is going to be giving lessons from the stage. We're talking about changing your swing and talking about how creating a culture of change will get you into spiritual maturity, talking about getting out of sand traps. He's going to teach you how to do it on the golf course, and I'm going to teach you how to do it biblically, getting out of life's hazards. So, and for those of you that love golf, playing around the golf can actually enhance your relationship with God. Why? Because the Bible said God gave you everything for your enjoyment. Now, I know some of you don't enjoy golf like myself because they just don't mow the grass where I hit the ball. But I at least enjoy the golf cart ride. That's always fun. That brings out the kid at heart. Enjoy life. I love Paul. Paul was one of my heroes in life. You know, Paul was so cool. I mean, they would come to Paul and they would say, Paul, if you keep talking about Jesus, we're going to throw you in prison. He'd be great, man. I'm writing a letter and I haven't had time to finish it. That'll give me plenty of time to finish this letter I'm working on. They say, Paul, if you don't stop preaching, we're going to kill you. Man, even better, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Go for it. That's awesome. I mean, you couldn't do anything to Paul because he just had this joy that you couldn't stop no matter what you tried to do to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, I love this. Paul says, our hearts ache. How many know Paul had problems? Paul experienced the same trials, the same pain, the same heartache that you and I experience in life. Paul says, our heart ache, but we always have joy. He didn't say his joy came from good circumstances. He said, listen, sometimes our heart ache, but we always have joy. We're poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, and yet we have everything. How many love to have that type of life? Now listen, my heart aches, but I always got joy. Listen, I may be poor, but I'll give spiritual riches away. I'm not going to stop giving because I'm poor. I may have nothing, but actually, I got everything. I love that philosophy about life. That's somebody that knows how to love life. See, you got to get to that point as a believer where you learn how to love life. People may say, I don't like, you know, Coastline for this or that, but one thing I don't want to ever hear about this church is those people don't know how to have fun, because we need to enjoy life as a church. We need to enjoy the blessings of God as a church. We need to enjoy the riches of God. We need to model a rich, satisfying life to this community. Not rich and satisfying because of what our bank account says, but rich and satisfying because we have joy on the inside. Number two, love people. Love people. I know it's simple, but it's hard to really enjoy life if you're mad at people. And so many people I know spend the majority of their life being mad, being upset, being angry, being offended by something that they can't really enjoy life because they're too bothered to enjoy it. John 13, verse 35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. If you don't know how to love people, you can't be a disciple. The only way to really prove that you follow Christ is your love for one another. Knowing how to love people is critical. But so many of us get so angry and bothered and offended, and we got thin skin and someone's always ticking us off. But you got to realize, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. You're going to get offended in life. You're going to have plenty. You'll have an opportunity every time I preach to get offended by something. I mean, there will always be opportunities to get mad. There's always going to be an opportunity to get offended in life by something. Your choice is whether or not you're going to allow yourself to get offended by it. See, the offense is always going to be thrown at you, but how you react to it, how you react to offense tells me where you are spiritually. If somebody gets offended, that just makes it loud and clear that they're just not spiritually grown enough in Christ, because they're allowing my actions or somebody else's actions to determine how they feel. They're taking on an offense as opposed to putting on the joy of the Lord and realizing, listen, it doesn't matter what you do to me. I got God. I've got joy. I'm not going to get offended by you. When I first became a Christian, one of the things I prayed over and over, I said, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. Then when he took me up on it, I got mad because people started using me as a Christian. And I got all offended. I said, God, people are using me. And God said, well, that's what you prayed for. And I was like, there you go. You know what I'm saying? I love this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. For the scriptures say, 1 Peter 3:10. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life. How many of you here want to enjoy life? If you want to enjoy life, and see many happy days. How many of you want to see many happy days? I mean, is there anyone here that is just dead set on seeing miserable days? Okay, if you want to enjoy life and you want to see happy days, here's the response. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, why does your tongue speak evil? The Bible says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if your tongue is speaking evil, it's because your heart is polluted. It's because your heart is infected. It's because there's something going on in your heart. For your tongue, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Something is going on in your heart that allows you to be speaking evil. And 9 times out of 10, you know what it is? Somebody ticked you off. What's the number one thing we complain about in life? People. The number one thing we complain about is people. We complain about people more. Well, you know, the president did this, or the Wall Street guys did this, or my next door neighbor did this, or my wife did this, or my husband did this, or my kids did this, or my parents did this. And we spend our entire life complaining about people. And he's saying very clearly that if you keep speaking evil and speaking complaints and speaking offense and speaking hurt and speaking all those things, you're not going to get to enjoy life or see many happy days. But if you want to see happy days and you want to learn how to enjoy life, then guard your heart. Protect your heart from being offended. You'll get the opportunities, but guard yourself saying, listen, I'm not going to get offended by that. I refuse. I guard myself. I want a happy life. I want to enjoy life. I don't want to spend my time being mad. Life is too short to be mad all the time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you only get this opportunity once. Do you really just want to spend it being angry? I mean, you just get a few years to really enjoy the life that we have. You get a few years to enjoy it, to have happy days. Do you want to spend all your time mad and angry because somebody did something to you? Or do you want to guard your heart and protect yourself? That's the key. Love people. See, look at the people who are attracted to Jesus. They weren't the religious folk. They were the messed up people. All the messed up people love being around Jesus. That's why I know Jesus had to be fun. Because you're not going to attract the crime lord. You're not going to attract the mafia. You're not going to attract the crooks. You're not going to attract the prostitutes and the pimps and the gang members if you're boring. I mean, Jesus got invited to every party in town. Why? Because people love being around him. Because there was something about him that was different. He had something inside of him that was attractive. There was a joy. There was a life about him that drew people to him. It was only the religious people that couldn't stand being around him. The religious people just had a really hard time with it. Look at this last scripture on this point. 1 John 3, verse 18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. How many know there's a lot of talk in the church today? A lot of talk. One of the things we're famous for as Christians is shooting our wounded. It's one of the things we're famous for. Let's be a church that protects each other. Let's be a church that guards each other, that when you go here, you're part of a family. There are people that will fight for you. There are people that will protect you. There are people that will defend you. We're not going to judge you and beat you up and throw you to the curb. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. The proof of your love is actions. Are you truly loving people? See, it's not about, us getting it all together. You know, I went to a church where everyone had it all together but me, it felt like. And I had to get saved every single Sunday because I was never good enough. I was always, it was just miserable because I was never good enough. And all these people were like put on these masks and, they were so holy. Listen, let me be real honest with you folks. I'm not perfect. I don't want to break your bubble and destroy your shell about me as a pastor, but I've got problems. Just, we're all checking into the same hospital. Some of us just may get there a couple days before others, but we're all checking into the same hospital. That's just the truth. And then the last point this morning and the most important point, this is my life message. If I could get anything inside of people, it would be this point. Love God. Just love God. Don't just be passionately, just be in love with him. Just fall in love with God, his goodness, his mercy, his riches. Because I'm telling you the truth, if you try to do this Christian thing without having that love relationship, if you try to do this Christian thing without God being number one and first in your life and truly being in love, you can try to apply these principles and you can try to do this or that, but you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. You're never going to be successful at this whole following Jesus thing unless you learn how to love God. Because without him, you've got nothing. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 25 says, "For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him?" I believe that. I can't enjoy anything apart from God. I may get an emotion of happiness in the world, but the reality is I won't enjoy anything. I won't have real joy, life-satisfying joy, joy from within apart from God. You got to get them. Everything else falls on this very one principle. I mean, Jesus said all of the law, everything you can learn about Christianity can be summed up in two very simple statements: love God, love people. Jesus said everything will fall together if you can just get those two things. If you can just do these two things, everything else will work out. You'll figure out, love God and love people. Jesus said it like this. He said, if you'll obey my commands, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. The problem with that is a lot of mean churches have used that verse to try to tell you you've got to prove your love for him. Like, you did that? Oh, you don't love Jesus. You messed up. You don't love Jesus. How many ever heard that growing up? How many felt that growing up? I know I did. Every time I met, you don't love Jesus enough. You don't love Jesus. Look, you failed. No, Jesus was saying, love me first and obedience will follow. We try to tell people, obey, and then you can prove to God you love him. But Jesus said, love me, and obedience will be the byproduct of love. You guys know exactly what I'm saying. How many remember when you first started dating and you were crazy in love? You know, that crazy love feeling. Guys, you can relate to this. It could be fourth quarter, Super Bowl Sunday, 2 minutes left of the game, and your wife or girlfriend can come in and say, honey, would you mind taking out the trash? And you jump up with a smile on your face and do it. Because you're crazy head over heel. Well, some of you guys are like, I don't think I've ever experienced that type of love. See, love will make you do crazy things. How many of you understand what I'm saying? That's why Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Everything falls on loving him. And that's how you develop a get-to attitude. See, that's what we want at Coastline, is a get-to attitude. I want people that get to come to church, not have to come to church. I don't want you to have to come to church, have to read the Bible, have to pray. You get to read the Bible. You get to pray. You get to love God. You get to serve on Sundays, being a greeter at the door. You get to help out in the parking lots. You get to be a part of what God is. You don't have to do it. You get to do it. And you get that attitude by falling in love with him. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "For you are the fountain of life, the light by which I see." He is the fountain of life. He is the fountain of life. You're not going to get any life without him, because he's the fountain of life. Without God, life is empty. How many know we've all been created with this giant hole inside of us? A giant hole that most of us spend our entire life trying to fill up that hole, because there's an emptiness that's in each and every. We're born with this emptiness. We've got this empty feeling, and so we fill it up with money, we fill it up with work, we fill it up with career, we fill it up with family, we fill it up with drugs, we fill it up with alcohol, we fill it up with golf, we fill it up with all these different things, and we still feel empty. Why? Because that hole was created for one thing, the fountain of life. And you can't get that hole filled up without God. And when you get God to fill up that hole, guess what? Everything else in your life becomes more enjoyable. Golf becomes more enjoyable when you've got God. Life becomes, dating your wife becomes more enjoyable when you got God. Hanging out with your children becomes more enjoyable when you got God. Because John says we love because he first loved us. You don't have the ability to really love your wife, to really love your children, to really love your career in a godly way. Not in a selfish or a workaholic way, but love your career in a godly way, unless you really have God's love inside of you. You need God's love. And it's so easy to get away from this. It's so easy to fall away. I mean, even King David fell away from it. You know, we all know the life of David, where he sinned, he failed, he made terrible, terrible mistakes, just, you know, unbelievable things that he got himself into, where at the end of it, he actually had a man murdered. And he had to come back to God. How many know? We've all been there in some way. We've all made mistakes somehow. We've all done something. And David, at the end of his life, he had to come back to God, and he prayed a very powerful prayer that so many of us need to learn and need to pray in our life. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, David had to come back and he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. I failed. I made mistakes. I'm not perfect." How many glad that God exposes his people in the Bible so we don't have to feel like we got to have it all together? I love the fact that the Bible is about broken people. The Bible is about people who failed. The Bible is about people who made mistakes. Because guess what? I'm broken. I've failed. I've made mistakes. And I want to be a part of something where God can forgive and restore and redeem. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Keep me connected to you, God. Keep me loyal to you. Keep me connected to who you are. He says, do not banish me from your presence and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. And then I want you to see something that I've never seen before until I started studying this week. Then David says these very powerful statement, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Look at something. David didn't say, restore to me your salvation. David never lost his salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many know you can be Christian without joy? You can have salvation without joy. We see it all the time in the church. People who are serving God at a punishment and they're not happy and they're miserable. We see it all the time. David said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, I don't want salvation in my life. I want the joy of salvation. It's not enough for me just to be saved and have a ticket to heaven. I want to have joy. I want there to be joy in my salvation. I want there to be joy in my walk. I want to enjoy life and enjoy my wife and enjoy my son and enjoy this incredible church that God's allowed me to be a part of. I want to enjoy my life. It's not enough just to be saved. I want joy. And that's the mark of someone who's truly connected to God, joy. And what's the result? Look at the end of that. He says, then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. The power of joy in your salvation is that people around you are going to come to Christ. See, salvation alone in your life is not going to bring people to Christ, but joy of salvation in your life will. When you have joy in your salvation, people around you are going to want to know why. What's different about you? What do you have? You're different. You're distinguished. You're set apart. There's something so different about you. You've got to share it with me, man. You've got to tell me, what are you doing? I want what you have. There's something about your life. If people aren't begging to figure out what's different about you, then you got to really reassess and ask, is the joy showing? Do you have joy in your salvation? Because when you got joy in your salvation, people want to know what's different about you. They see it. There's a glow. There's a light that's in your eyes that they don't see in anyone else. And they see it in you and they're like, man, you've got to, there's something different about me. Tell me what it is. That's the key. And it comes with God. It comes with God. We all have to go to the same place to get it. You can't get joy without God. Joy is not a human emotion. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You'll never have joy without God. You may experience happiness from time to time, but you'll never get joy without God. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. There's people here today, and you need to take the first step, and that's get God. Because like I said, you can't enjoy life. You can't even have joy without God. Number one for you is get God. That should be number one priority. If you had an agenda for the week, number one should be get God in my life. Get God first. Make God first. Put God first. Whatever it takes, make God number one in your life. That's the key. Not God being an accessory of your life, not God being a piece of your life or a part of your life. God's got to be number one in your life. See, if he isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. God wants all or nothing. God's not going to take a small piece of your life. He either wants all of your life or none of your life. So you have to choose today. Are you going to give God all of it? Because just saying, God, I'll give you Sundays, but I'm going to keep Monday to Friday to myself. Or God, I'm going to give you Monday to Friday and Sunday, but Saturday's mine. And the beauty is when you give God all of it, everything you do becomes more enjoyable. Everything you do, work becomes more enjoyable, life becomes more enjoyable, family becomes more enjoyable, but you won't get it without God. You got to put God number one in your life. So I want to ask anyone here today that with every eye closed and nobody looking around, I don't want to single you out or embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward today. But if you're sitting out there saying, you know what, God is not number one in my life. God isn't. Maybe this is your first time at church and you're just saying, you know, I don't have God at all. whatever situation you're in, if you've realized this morning God's not number one in your life and you need God to be number one in your life, you need to give him everything, absolutely everything, I want a chance to pray with you to make God first in your life, whether it's a recommitment or whether it's for the very, very first time. But if you want to make God first in your life, I want you to raise your hand so I can see it right now. Thank you. 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 Thank you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, there's a very simple prayer of making God first. And it's the prayer that David prayed. And I want to lead you in this simple prayer this morning because I think David's outline probably says it best. The first thing you need to pray to put God first is say, God, create in me a clean heart, which basically means, God, I'm sorry. I failed. I've made mistakes, and I need your forgiveness. So right now, just ask God to forgive you. Just say, create in me a clean heart, God, forgive me. Just right now, in your own words, in your own way, just ask God to forgive you. Forgive me, God. David said, renew a right spirit within me. Make a loyal spirit with me. That basically means make God Lord of your life. Not just the salvation of your life, but make him the Lord of your life. Commit to serve him. Just say, God, today I commit myself to serve you. I want to serve you. I don't want you to just be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want to give you my life and make you number one. So in your own words, just say that to God right now. God, I want you to be number one. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to give you control of my life, all of it. Then it says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Just say, God, give me joy. Give me life. I want that fountain of life. I want to know real joy that can only come from you. Let me know that joy. Just in your own words right now, just ask God to give you that joy that can only come from him. And then the last part is your service. It says, then people will turn to you. So just say, God, I want to be used by you. I want to serve you. Give me an opportunity to serve your kingdom at work, in my home, in my neighborhood, at church. Give me an opportunity to serve you. Just pray that right now. Father, I pray for everybody that prayed this prayer this morning, that made this commitment to put you first in their life, that you would bless them, you would guide them, and you would keep them in the name of Jesus. If you prayed that prayer this morning, inside the bulletin on your connection card, there's a spot on the connection card that says, I made a decision for Jesus Christ today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you want to know what the next step of following God is, if you'll check that box and turn it in a moment, what we'll do again is all we'll do is send you a very simple email that explains the next steps of following Jesus, the next steps of what it means to be a Christian. It's very clear. It's four very simple steps. Well, again, we're not going to call you. We're not going to follow you. All we'll do is send you an email that tells you what you need to do to follow Jesus, and then it's your decision. So if you'll fill that out, and if you'll fill it out, if you want to know more about Coastline Church and how to connect, you can turn it in a moment. You'll have some buckets that come around, and you can turn the connection card into one of those buckets, or you can drop it off at the connection table. Well, as we close today, I want to invite you to worship God with us in giving.